Good morning, honorable members.
Morning, Chairperson.
Honorable Tablansha, are we the only ones here today?
Yeah, we are the early birds always.
Good morning, Chairperson. Morning, Chairperson.
Dim, which side? Are you an asylum seeker today, Dim?
No, I am not.
So you are in South Africa?
I am in South Africa, yeah. It's only next week where I will seek asylum.
Okay. But you're not an illegal immigrant, Dim.
No. I will be having all the necessary documentation.
Good, DM. We don't want to find that you've been extradited out of a country.
No, Jefferson, no.
Deputy Minister of Police extradited. Ooh.
Yeah, that will not be a good thing.
You'll take the entire committee with you so that we can protect you, because the police needs protection now.
No, we're more than ever.
Now the police, I've never seen the police under so much attack.
It's a difficult moment, but we shall overcome.
Yes. Honorable Whitfield, you said you will join later. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Malekwa and Marekwa. Honorable Groenewald, Honorable Shembeni, did you manage to actually get someone to assist you with your gadget? I see you've changed from iPad to Honorable Shembeni.
Yes, Chair, I have tried. Thank you very much.
No. I think the fourth industrial revolution is now finally with you in your house. Hey.
Yes, thanks, Chair.
Honorable Siabi, good morning.
Good morning, Chair.
How are you, Wolf?
I'm fine, and you? Have you slept well?
I'm up and about and slept well, Honorable Wolf. And Honorable Wolf, I want to know from you, there's some areas after that oversight visit of the Joint Committee, I'm getting more and more requests.
For what?
For you. You are there on popular demand.
Yeah. Let's wait.
Honorable Patrain, good morning.
Morning, DM.
Morning, Whip. How are you, Whip?
I'm fine, and you, DM?
Very well, thank you.
We missed you on Wednesday.
Yeah, I was holding fort at another area of SAPS, and I wished I could have been there, because always when we present this report, it's very good that you
recording in progress
there. But unfortunately I couldn't, but I missed that, and I was not that excited.
No problem, MDM.
Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. Formally, we are ready to start. We have a quorum. I am going to request, I've welcomed all of you. I'm going to request, because it's Friday, we have limited time, that we look at the agenda, we take the apologies, and that we start our meeting immediately. We do have a quorum. may have the agenda. Today we're going to adopt the agenda, the apologies, the opening remarks, the matters arising, and then we will be having the presentations by IPET and CIRA. Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the agenda?
I propose for the adoption, Chair.
Honorable Siabi, are you proposing the adoption?
Yes.
Honorable Siabi, good morning, colleagues. Honorable Siabi, are you proposing adoption?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have a seconder? Honorable Muleku seconds the adoption of the agenda. We will then be looking at the IPET presentation. Honorable members, this is the BRRR reports. We are not going to spend the entire meeting discussing the Kinnear report. So on behalf of the Portfolio Committee, I would like to put on record that Parliament and this committee have been specifically involved in engagements and actions subsequent to the murder of Lieutenant Colonel Kinnear. I've given you a long list of all the engagements we have had. The Portfolio Committee heard the petition of Ms. Kinnear February 2021, SAPS was called by the committee to report when they made the BRRR report recommendations. Status updates have been provided to us. The National Assembly on the 8th of September approved the report. We considered the report 17 November. We adopted the BRRR reports. We met, the meeting followed, the chairperson, we said that a number of complaints were received inter alia that the security of Ms. Kinnear was removed. The committee indicated very clearly that we have no power, and I wish to emphasize this, that the committee has no power to instruct the SAPS to offer Mrs. Kinnear and her family security. It is a responsibility of SAPS, and if the committee interferes, it will be perceived as political influence, which will create problems for the committee. If the committee instructs SAPS to provide security for an individual, we'll have to do so for all individuals who feel threatened. On March 2022, a second submission was sent to the Speaker of the National Commission Assembly. Mrs. Kinnear submitted the second submission, which she thought was a petition, which was the Speaker referred it to the Minister, but the second petition was not referred to the Portfolio Committee. In a response to Mrs. Kinnear, I sent you all these annexures and correspondence. The Speaker noted that Parliament unfortunately does not have the answers to the concerns she has raised, and that this matter should be referred to the Minister and not to the committee. So the second petition, those who are asking what happened to the second petition, it was not referred to the committee by the Speaker. However, it was referred to the Minister of Police. On the 2nd of July 2022, it came to our attention that the IPET final report on the late Lieutenant Colonel Kinnear was dated 4th of May, was received by Parliament. I wrote to the Speaker that we were aware of the report. Kindly please note that I cannot discuss a report which has not been referred to the committee. Even if the report is out in the public and the media has a copy of the report, we cannot discuss a report which is in the media. Even if IPET discussed this report with Mrs. Kinnear, We cannot discuss that in the committee. All documents referred to the committee have to be referred to us legally and formally. On the 22nd of September, the speaker referred it back to the committee, clarifying that if members of the Portfolio Committee on Police will have access to the report, but that we would have supervised access to the classified report. I sent this letter to you. This only deals with certain issues of access to the report and the information contained within the report will not be dealt with. The contents of the report will not be dealt with in this committee. On the 22nd of September, Mr. Paul O'Sullivan emailed the members of Parliament serving on the committee, in which he made several allegations against members of Parliament. He also made several allegations against the chairperson. A scathing article was published in the City Press in which he accuses the committee of not doing our work. Mrs. Kinnear wrote an email to various members of Parliament serving on the committee entitled Lack of Transparency in the National Assembly. This email was forwarded by the chairperson to the content advisor. In our response, we stated very clearly that the committee has done considerable work, and I have itemized all the work we have done on this matter. And we have explained again to Mrs. Kinnear that the second submission was not referred to the portfolio. It is not a petition, but that the speaker referred it directly to the Minister of Police for his consideration. The classified IPET report will not be discussed in the committee. Those members who wish to view the report, you have to make arrangements so that you can see the report. There are stipulations, and those stipulations for you to see the report have been spelled out to you by the Speaker's office. That report will not be discussed today. Those of you who would like to mention or ask anything will be at liberty to do so after we have discussed this matter. You will do so until 8:30. I will no longer consider the discussion of this report. The report has been classified by IPET. A report does not get classified by Parliament or the Minister or the National Commissioner. The report has been classified by IPET due to the sensitivity of the nature of the contents of the report with regards to the ongoing case which is happening. The investigation should be allowed to take its course. We have received a letter from IPET, and the contents of that letter will not be discussed today, but we have received a letter of IPET. What we will request today is that IPET gives us a short briefing on how far they are. There are recommendations made in the report. Those recommendations are not pertaining to the committee. So the recommendations are for their investigation. Those recommendations are for the minister and for IPET, and they then need to respond in terms of the recommendations which were made by IPET. The committee will not interfere in the investigation. It is my view that we can allow IPET and SAPS the space to conduct the investigation, and that we do not interfere in the processes of the investigation. Babawa, you received another letter. Was that from IPET?
Good morning, Chair. It's a presentation from IPET, Chair.
I'll ask, how long is that presentation?
Let me just quickly check the size, Chair, then I will revert back to you.
Honorable Shembeni, you must thank Nicolette.
It's 36. Our presentation is 36 pages, Chairperson, if I may assist.
No, the Kinnear report.
Oh, okay.
I'm not dealing with the Kinnear report when we do the BRRR report of IPET. We cannot mix the Kenya report with the BRRR report. So I want to separate the Kenya report from the IPED BRRR report. There are 14 slides on the Kenya matter. I'm going to take those 14 slides in which IPED will give us an update. I will not allow extensive discussion on this. The committee remains mindful of the sensitive information contained in the classified report, and we will deal with this matter sensitively as it requires within the ambit of the law. The committee has not seen the 14 slides, so I am Babawa, did any of the members receive the 14 slides?
No, Chair, I didn't circulate the presentation to the members.
Did the minister see the 14 slides?
No, Chair, I only got the presentation today, Chair.
So I did not see the 14 slides. Deputy Minister, did you see the slides?
No, I didn't.
Those slides were sent 5 minutes ago. I have not seen the slides. The minister has not seen the slides. The deputy minister has not seen the slides. So I will not take that presentation now. All presentations which come to the committee are normally seen by the chair, the minister and the deputy minister before it is presented to the committee. I've noted, Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You are correct that ordinarily we receive presentations in advance. However, this is no ordinary presentation. It is an exceptional presentation under exceptional circumstances where it appears that IPED, and allow me to emphasize, is the independent police investigative directorate, and they should be allowed, or certainly be trusted, to present information to this committee which would not ordinarily be denied. I don't see the purpose of us censoring this presentation, given the enormous public interest in this issue and the fact that members of the committee have long expressed concerns, because there's no guarantee that we'll receive this presentation anytime soon. If it's not dealt with today, when will it be dealt with as a matter of urgency? I still don't believe that there's any reasonable grounds to not allow an independent agency of the state to present to this committee its presentation on a matter of significant public interest. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield. The Kenya matter is not on the agenda of today. The recommendations will be dealt with of the Kenya report, but the item will be placed on the agenda of the committee appropriately. I will not allow a report presented to the committee which has serious legal implications for the committee. As the chairperson of the committee, I will protect the investigation and the case and not compromise the investigation. If any information is presented to the committee which compromises the case or the investigation, it will be the chairperson who will be called to court to defend the actions of the committee. The chairperson represents the committee on all legal matters, and as the chairperson, I am not only protecting myself, but I am quite carefully protecting the legal a framework and the ambit of the law. This committee, even though a matter is public, this committee has to act within the ambit of the law and not within the ambit of what is in the public eye or the pressure I am being exerted, the pressure which is exerted on by the media or the public. Yes, there are other cases where we have a similar situation, and those cases have not received as much attention as we have certainly been given to the Kenya matter. I can say without without any doubt that this committee has been seized with the Kenya matter regularly. We must allow the investigation to continue. We must ensure that we are doing things absolutely according to the book. We will rather on the side of caution than compromise the investigation. If there are recommendations which are made to the committee in that report, those recommendations will be followed up by the committee. The committee does not investigate legal court matters. Dr. Groenewald, you have your hand up.
Morning, Honorable Chair and other members. Thank you, Chair. Chair, this matter is an important matter. It's not whether it's in the media or not. And I heard what you said. The fact of the matter is that we as members of Parliament have an act that can, for instance, ensure that there cannot be any legal actions against us, that we have the privilege. And I can't see that the committee or members of the committee in an official committee meeting can be liable when certain information is given. Now, Chair, firstly, you said on Wednesday that we will deal with this matter. You just said that it is not on the agenda. Yes, it is not on the agenda. But on Wednesday, you did say that we will deal with the Kenya situation. Now, Chairperson, I have the following problem. Firstly, the document that has been classified and where members then can go and look into this document, which is classified, I have a big problem with that, because the first question is, if you have insight in a classified document, I don't know whether it's classified secret or top secret, and you don't have that clearance, then you are contravening certain legislation. So, Chairperson, I want to know why this document is then classified. You said the director of the IPIT has classified it. At least I want to hear what are the reasons that the document is classified. Let's say then it's at least classified as secret. I want to know. Furthermore, Chairperson, I heard what you said, that we're not going to compromise. We cannot really compromise the committee as such. Maybe we can compromise the process of the investigation. But if IPIT is of the opinion that they can give us a presentation on the matter, they should know whether it's going to compromise the investigation or not. And I do believe that if they want to give us a 14 or 13 page presentation, that they themselves decided it will not compromise the investigation. Therefore, Chairperson, with great respect, I would really request that we look at this presentation, and I want specifically answers on why this document is being classified and why can we not declassify it. And I can't see, if we get the answer on that, that it can compromise in any aspect. I will really appreciate that, Chairperson, because we are confronted as members of Parliament to say, what's going on? Now I must say that document is classified. And then it says, but why? I don't know. So at least we must be informed on these matters, Honorable Chair, because this is one case. There are many cases, Honorable Chair, that just is kept away in a certain sense from the committee. And yes, I know we don't have the time to look in all the cases and everything, but if we do not solve this matter, I can assure you, we are actually compromised other members of the South African Police Services. Because if there's criminal activity which is part of this investigation, if we don't solve it, and if it looks as if we protect certain people, then, Chairperson, we actually put our members of the police services into danger, because then the criminals, and I would actually say the murderers, because Kenia was murdered, are just experience impunity again. So therefore, I respect you, what you said, Honorable Chair, but I will really request that you reconsider on the presentation, but at least if you don't want the presentation be given to us, I would at least want the reasons for the classification of the document. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable members, this is precisely the discussion which I said we should be having, which when we met last time, we did not have. The first item that I am willing to discuss is why IPET has classified the report and the access of members to classified information. That is the first item I'm prepared to discuss. The second item which I wish to make clear is that a second petition which was sent to the speaker by Mrs. Kenia was not a petition which was sent to the chair. The speaker considered it not to be a petition and it was referred to the minister. Those are the two matters. The third matter I am considering is that there is an investigation and I will not compromise that investigation. As you said, the process of the investigation must continue, and this committee will not compromise the investigation. I'm going to take all your hands because I said we will discuss this matter. We need to discuss the way forward, and the way forward includes whether a presentation, which I have not seen, is going to be presented in this meeting. Honorable Tablanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I want to echo what the previous honorable member said. You know, and I think this is an important issue, and we need to be seen to deal with this in an effective matter. Chairperson, up to now, you know, the police were also compelled or instructed, and which they did, you know, to report back on a regular basis to this meeting or to this committee. And my question is that still going to be the case? Are they still going to be reporting to us? And if not, why not? Because really, or are we going to regard this now as finalized and trust the minister and the police? You know, the first question that comes to mind is what happened since this matter was now directly referred to the minister? Apparently, on the face of things, Chairperson, the complainant is still not satisfied. And really, I think that this committee would be failing in our responsibility if we don't ensure that this is dealt with in a proper way. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Tablanche. Honorable Tablanche, we have requested quarterly reports because there is an investigation. The monthly reports we received were clearly not giving us movement. I stated that if I receive monthly reports, I am then micromanaging an investigation, which in fact I cannot be discussing monthly. We agreed that we will receive quarterly reports. I cannot place this item on the agenda every month. There is a forensic report or an investigation. It is classified. I cannot put it on the agenda every week. Today we are dealing with the BRRR reports. Honorable Siabi.
Thank you, Chair.
Greetings to the DM and the honorable members and all on the platform. Chairperson, I would have preferred to hear the voice of the DM on the issue of the 14 slides, because my view, and I share the view with colleagues who say this matter is serious. But my problem is that if the principle is that the report must be seen by the ministry and the chairperson, and we receive the report before it is presented. If we set a wrong precedent, we'll have problems in future. I'll go along with the view that IPIT respond as to why the report is classified. And further, maybe just to brief the committee on what they have recommended. Further, Chair, that because the report would have been received today, if it is allowed that it be circulated, maybe we prioritize it in our next meeting, so that we get into details on the issue. In that way, we shall not have created a precedent of receiving a report that has not been seen by the minister or the deputy minister and the chairperson. But at the same time today, we shall have been favored with the brief by IPIT on why they classified the report and how far are they with the recommendations. And then we then get the report circulated, if it's allowed, then we prioritize it in our next meeting. That would be my submission, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Siabe. What I just wanted to clarify, and I'm sure that you meant the presentation and not the report must be circulated before the Deputy Minister and IPIT comes in. A question remains, and they have to explain this to us. The only question which remains now, Honorable Marekwa, before I make a summary. Honorable Marekwa, your hand is up.
No, thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to yourself, the DM, and all members of the committee who are on the platform this morning. I would also like to add my voice and agree with all Honorable Siabe on setting a precedent. There will be other independent bodies once we deal with the report that comes without you as a chairperson having seen it. We will have that going on for in the future. I know and I've listened to the colleagues saying that this is a very serious matter, but the urgency and the issue of the 14 slides, Chairperson, is as much as we don't know what is contained there. Unless if you have seen the 14 slides and you are satisfied as a chairperson, I don't think if you have not seen them and we should be presented with the 14 slides, because it will be part of the report or whatever presented report. If they deal with the report, I don't think anything that deals with the report should be dealt with today, Chairperson. Just to avoid issues of precedence, we respect and we understand that this is a very serious matter with high public interest. But I believe that public interest also want to have a concrete responses and work that has been thoroughly looked into, so that as a committee, when we respond and engage on the report, we know on what is still under investigation. So the community, I don't think any part of it should be dealt with today, and then let it be set on the agenda up until you have seen the whole report, and then we can be dealing with it, like Honorable Siabe is saying, maybe next week in the next meeting. Let it be flighted on the agenda once you have seen the report, because seeing the report as a chairperson
Honorable Marekwa, am I the only one who's losing you?
Person, I don't think that anything will change. So I don't think we have to fear. Anyway, I submitted the report. We'll be part of the meeting to deal with the report now to avoid issues of precedent and to make sure that as a committee, we, as much as we are responsible to the public, we do make inputs that knowing that we are within the ambit of the law and not going to tamper with the investigation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, honourable members. My conclusion and way forward on the matter is as follows. Before I give the Deputy Minister, I am going to expect you to understand. One, I have never allowed a walk-in presentation ever into this committee. And I will not allow any walk-in presentation. All presentations are expected to be given to the committee a week in advance. Members of the committee have complained if they have not received the presentations well in advance. I'm not going to make an exception to this presentation, so I'm not going to allow a walk-in presentation. That is a principle which has been established in the committee, and I will not change that principle. This is not a new matter. It is an ongoing matter. And therefore, if IPED wish to submit anything, they have to give me that presentation well in advance. There isn't a single presentation, whether it is from the public or any political party. I have never allowed walk-in presentations, and I'm not going to allow a walk-in presentation today. That is a ruling. When you respond, IPED and the minister, the question remains, why did the IPED submit a classified report to Parliament? I would like you to answer this. Why did IPED submit a classified document? Once a document is tabled to Parliament, it becomes a public document. So when you respond to me, IPED Deputy Minister is an independent body, and I understand that you cannot answer this, but the IPED, I wish it to be noted that the IPED has compromised Parliament's oversight mandate. They compromised the entirety not only of this committee, but also of Parliament. We are a parliament of the people, and no secrets should be kept. We are a constitutional democracy, and we take our mandate seriously. Can that please be recorded? I remain, why did IPED submit a classified report? Once a document is tabled to Parliament, it's a public document. The committee, if it wants to exercise its oversight role, needs to have information at hand. That information is at hand, but it is in the form of a classified document with the speaker. All members of Parliament have access to see that classified report, and as Groenewald says, we do not have clearance, and even if you go and see that report, you would not have clearance to see the report. We come back to the question, why did IPED send us a classified report? I have not had the opportunity to peruse the report because last week when I was ready to go and peruse the report, the Speaker's office was not ready for me to do so. Am I correct, Nicolette? I had an appointment to go and see the document and read the document?
You are correct. At that stage, the Speaker's office was still arranging all the security arrangements, the secure office and the key bearers in terms of the sergeant at arms to ensure the security of the document.
There you have it. I tried to go and read the report. I have not read the report. I have not seen the presentation. Once we have had an opportunity to read the report, and once you have chosen whether you are going to read the report or not, I will place the item on the agenda. I've had no opportunity to read the report. I had time. I set aside a day to go and read the report. The Speaker's office was not ready for me to have access to that report. I will place it on the agenda for now. I have limited information. I will ask IPA to explain. In all fairness, I do understand that we requested IPA to give us a presentation. So IPA, please, you do not need to explain why your presentation arrived late. That I understand. I asked you to give me information. I did not ask you to present today. Unfortunately, that information arrived with me 5 minutes before I logged into this meeting. I was logging into the meeting, greeting members, and I did not read your presentation. Members, you will go to the Speaker's office if you feel that you could, and we will clarify with the Speaker. If you have no security clearance, if you will be allowed to see the report. For now, I take the ruling of the Speaker. The Speaker rules and has supersedes the power of a committee chairperson. The investigation is a murder investigation. And you are correct, Honorable Tablange. A murder investigation is not conducted by IPET. I would like to know from the Deputy Minister and IPET in particular, why you submitted Parliament with a classified report. And that remains my question. Furthermore, I will peruse the report. Once I've perused the report and the members have explained to me who will peruse the report and who will not peruse the report, I will put the item on the agenda. Deputy Minister?
Thank you, Chair. I think now that you have made a ruling on the matter, I think we should allow it to rest there, and we then get presentations on the date that you will have defined as a committee. And for now, what we can say is that from the side of subs and IPED, we an impression should not be created that we do not want to come and account on any matter that the committee wants us to account on. We are prepared to do that, and we'll always account as and when we are called to appear before the committee. And obviously, on areas that might compromise whatever process that is there, we will have to find a way to circumvent those so that we do not compromise any process, but members are given an update in terms of where we are and what is being done on matters that are before the committee. And I think the information that has been given to the Speaker, it has been given so that the Speaker from her advantage position will then decide on how best the matter should be processed. If the matter must then go to the joint standing committee that deals with highly sensitive documents, I think the Speaker's office and Parliament have that capability to process those sensitive information that will not ordinarily be put on the public platform. It does not necessarily mean that when everything goes to the Speaker's office, they must then necessarily be put on the public platform. There are those that will be put there, but there are those that will be processed using a different approach, given the sensitivity or the nature of the information on the table. And we are confident that the Speaker has that capability to handle this thing in that matter, and therefore nothing has been compromised because of that. We do send information that is sensitive, but there are processes that this information gets processed by Parliament, like we do interface with the Joint Committee on Intelligence, which handles sensitive information. And it is under the leadership of the Speaker, despite the fact that it operates at a different level altogether. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister. The question remains, Executive Director, I do not want to have the contents of the report. Could you give me a clear explanation? IPED classified the report. Why did you classify the report? I do not want to know the contents of the report. I do not want to know the findings of the report. I would simply like to know why you classified the report. Executive Director, you are an independent body. Could you please explain to me why your report was classified?
Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, good morning to you all. Chairperson, let me respond by saying that we have classified that information because, number one, we were investigating CMOs. Two.
My apologies. Could you introduce yourself, please? Your gadget just reads iPad.
My name is Kenya Mutazen. I'm the Executive Director of IPED.
Thank you, Executive Director. I just did that because of the records of the meeting. Your sound is not very good, ED. We cannot hear you properly.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we have classified this information because we were investigating a sensitive matter, and it implicated senior officials. And secondly, the classification is restricted classification because we are not certain.
Honourable Chairperson.
Yes.
Chairperson, the sound is echoing. I cannot clearly hear what the person is saying, and I clearly want to hear what she is saying. So. The sound is not good.
Honourable Groenewald, I stated that the sound is not good. Executive Director, could you please find yourself a space where we can hear you? We can repeat what you have said, but we cannot hear you. We do not have a clear sound.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
You have an echo where you are.
Chairperson, she must speak in the mic, please.
Can you hear me now, Chair?
Yes, that sounds better.
Okay. Thank you very much. I was saying, the reason why we have classified this information as one, we are investigating senior officers. And two, we have sent this report to MPA so that they can consider our recommendation, as well as we have sent the report to National Commissioner to also act on those recommendations. So we have not yet received any information from them to say how far are they with the process, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Members. There we have the reason why the report is classified. Can that response please be noted? I will only allow, there are two more members who would like to continue with this. I told you that this matter will be placed on the agenda. I'll take those two hands and then I'll close this matter. Honourable Groenewald and then Honourable de Blanche.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, no, this is not acceptable. I would like to receive the reasons in writing and then I will study it, because this, or what I heard now, as far as I'm concerned, to say because of senior investigators, totally unacceptable. It doesn't matter who and how senior an investigator is. Secondly, to say there are still outstanding information. So how long are we going to wait? So can I request, Honourable Chair, and I respect your rulings in terms of further discussion on this matter, that a proper report by IPED be compiled in writing for the reasons that the document is classified. I want it in writing, as well as if there's outstanding matters, what are the reasons for that outstanding matters? If it is still part of the police, then it must be said so, and then the police must also answer why is it still outstanding. This matter, Honourable Chair, must be finalised, so, and I don't want to repeat what I said this morning, but it is urgent. Thank you.
Honourable de Blanche, thank you, Dr. Groenewa.
Chairperson, thank you. I just want to add to what the Honourable Groenewald said. The fact that there are suspects, apparently senior officers, is not enough reason to classify a document. You know, the Pala case is out in the media, and even the state president is involved in that. So this is not enough reason. This must be reconsidered. And Chairperson, that we can deal with this properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. It is precisely because I wish to deal with this properly that I'm not going to sneak it into the agenda item of the BRRR report. If we did the BRRR report without getting this clarity that we have today, I started the meeting with this. I did not sweep it under the carpet. I actually started this meeting. I said we will have a way forward before we leave. The way forward is the item will be placed on the agenda. That item on the agenda will include the absolute reasons why the report is classified. That item on the agenda will be followed by a proper presentation to the committee with the questions, responses to the questions which the committee has posed to the Deputy Minister and IPED. That presentation will be circulated to you. We will receive that presentation before this item is placed on the agenda. When we opened this discussion, I said it is a BRRR report. I'm not going to have the time of this committee spent on discussing a report which I have not seen, discussing a presentation which I have not seen, and at the end of the day, I do not get to my agenda item. My agenda item is the BRRR report. Those BRRR reports have to be completed by a stipulated date. We will complete the BRRR reports within its stipulated date and legal requirements. Thereafter, this matter will be placed on the agenda. You will receive your presentations. You will have time to peruse the report. Committee members, can you please engage with the Speaker's office to read the report? We will have a record of all the members who went to the Speaker's office to peruse the report. When we have this item on the agenda, committee members, I will have a record of how many of you went to read that report. The content of that report is with the Speaker's office. You must ask permission first. You have to request permission and you have to request a time slot from the Speaker's office. That is not my ruling. That is the ruling of the Speaker's office. Once you have requested permission, you will request permission from me. I will also engage with the Speaker's office if you cannot engage directly with the Speaker's office. I have given you all permission. I will give you all permission in writing to allow you to go and peruse that report. Once you have perused that report, you will be able to comment about it and we'll be able to engage with this item on the agenda. It will be a specific item on the agenda. I have concluded this matter. Dr. Groenewald, you have your hand up. I have concluded on this matter. Dr. Groenewald, I'm being very lenient to give you another opportunity. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I appreciate the leniency. Honorable Chair, can I also ask that we just write a letter to the Speaker requesting certain information, because the way I have it, the Speaker does not have the authority to allow a person who has not the correct clearance to have insight in a classified document and who does not have the same classification, can go and read the document. I think that we are contravening the act if we don't, I heard it is classified as secret. If a member is not classified or does not have a secret clearance, Honorable Chair, you are contravening of that member, let I put it that way, is contravening the act, and the Speaker does not have the authority to give that document. Can we write a letter to ask what the legal implications are if that happened, as I stated? I want to see the document. I had a top secret clearance before 94, but it's not valid anymore. And therefore, I won't make such an appointment because I think I'm going to contravene an act. Can I request, Honorable Chair, if I can make misuse of your leniency, that we just get clarity on that matter? I will really appreciate.
On that matter, Honorable Groenewald, I have also requested the legal advisor to the committee to respond to me with that regard. I, as the chair, I also have reservations because I do not have top secret clearance. I have also requested to speak our legal advisor to advise me on whether I have the right or any member has the right to peruse a document which is classified top secret and which then would be read by members who do not have top secret clearance. I have requested that advice. Nicolette, am I correct?
Yes, sir, you have. It's correct.
The ruling, I do not have made the speaker. I would not have made the ruling. The speaker made the ruling. I'm not going to question the ruling of the speaker, but I am certainly going to find out that if members who do not have top secret clearance are then allowed to peruse the document. That information will be communicated to you. The date when this item will be placed on the agenda will also be communicated to you. I thank you. The next item on the agenda will now be the BRRR report. The Kinnear matter will not be discussed when we discuss the BRRR report, since I have given the Kinnear matter an hour of our time. DM, you may introduce the IPED BRRR report.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to members for the opportunity you have given us to present to you the annual report of IPED, and together with the one for CIRA. Of course, in terms of your agenda, we are starting with the IPED annual report. And without further ado, given the fact that the time is not on our side, I'll request, if you may allow, Chair, that the Executive Director should lead in the presentation of our report. Through you, Chair, if you may allow, we can ask the Executive Director to come in and present. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Executive Director, do you please have a clear line We do not need an echo from you. We need you to have a clear line. And you knew you were presenting to Parliament today. This is not the first time that you have problems with your sound. So I hope that you have a clear line today. You may start.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. We have indeed a clear line today. We are going to be presenting our annual report. Please present. Next slide. This is an index to say what is it exactly we will be presenting. I will be going to the next slide because it's a long presentation. Next slide. I will start with my overview. Outlined that the purpose of the presentation is to brief the Portfolio Committee on Police on IP's annual performance for the 2021-2022 financial year. During the period under review, the department continued to execute its mandate in line with the IP Act to ensure that all people in South Africa live safely in a corrupt-free society. We achieved 94% of the APP target and spent 98.34% of our allocated budget. Our audit outcome remains unqualified with no identified material misstatements. In an effort to expand our footprint in order to improve access to services, 11 offices were in the year under review established, 4 in Gauteng, 4 in KZN, and 3 in the Northern Cape. IPIT also collaborated with the with AFCOP as one of its stakeholders to develop case priority framework. The department partnered with the NYDA and the Safety and Security Education Training, that is SASITA, to fund the youth development program, which led to the intake of 56 learners and 17 interns. Departments that are in compliance with the modified cash basis of accounting must adhere fully with the principle, presentations, and disclosure requirements contained in the standard in order to achieve fair presentation and compliance with the PFMA. Investigations of 1,015 cases were completed and referred to SAPS, MPA, and the NPA. A total of 239 departmental convictions and 20 criminal convictions were secured, with 941 cases still on the court roll. The next page will be about our finances. I am now going to hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Patrick Sutton. Thank you.
Thank you, Executive Director. Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, as well as colleagues. I've been requested to present financial performance of the department in the year under review. Chair and the members, the first slide talks to the legislation requirement in which the department used to prepare financial statements. One, the PFMA that was used for fair presentation of our financial statements. Two, treasury regulations which requires the accounting office of the department to ensure that the annual financial statements are prepared in accordance with the departmental financial reporting. The third one, we used the guideline that was developed by the Office of the Accountant General within the National Treasury that stipulates the modified cash standard. And lastly, we also compiled our financial statement with the guidance of principle, fair presentation, and the disclosures. Chair, this slide, we just wanted to demonstrate the summary of our auditor's expenditure for the two previous financial years. In the financial year 2021, Chair, the department was able to spend the 341 million, which resulted into 37,000 surrendered to National Treasury. And the year under review, which is 21-22, the department was able to spend 348 million from its budget allocations, which resulted in the surrendering of 5.9 million shares due to various reasons that will be outlined. Chair, we have also tried to share with you and the honorable members the key areas within our financial statement, which of course have been audited by the AGSA. One, Chair, you will recall that each and every time when we make a presentation here, we raise the issue of financial constraints, and this results into us doing internal shifting of funds throughout financial year so that we can prioritize some of the key areas within our mandate. Therefore, for the year under review, there was an environment that was implemented in terms of Section 43 of the PFMA, where 3.8 million was shifted around to accommodate some of the realized key activities, which mainly assist IT to realize its own mandate. And amongst those that were prioritized, Chair, is marketing and branding of the IT mandate. Chair will recall that after the restriction imposed by COVID-19, the department had to come with an alternative means of reaching out to the community. And hence, we used the marketing, branding, including the radio campaign, to reach out of our community. Chair, we also did not have the rollover for the year under review. As we have indicated, we don't have enough luxury, so we did not make any rollover for the year under review. Chair, continuing unauthorized expenditure. Chair and honorable members, you will recall that for almost four financial years, when we present before yourselves, we always present this part of unauthorized expenditure, which happened in the previous financial year 5 and 6, financial year 8 and 9. We have since submitted all the necessary documentation to National Treasury for their consideration. They've also made submission to SCOPA, but up to today, Chair, when I'm making this presentation before yourself, the approval has not been granted. We've been making follow-up on quarterly basis with National Treasury to see if they cannot assist us to address this particular balance, Chair, that is still reflecting in our records. Chair, the next slide talks to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There were few transactions that were recorded in our financial statement, Chair. All these transactions that were recorded in our financial statement, Chair, for fair presentations, has been submitted to our internal financial misconduct committee to look at them, assess them, and make recommendation to the accounting officer on the actions that need to be taken about those people who are implicated. Chair, in terms of the irregular expenditure, there was an amount of 98,000 that was identified during the audit as a result of advertisement on the procurement when we were procuring office furniture. The supply chain legislative chair requires the department to be specific in terms of the threshold of the local content when they make procurement on the office furniture. However, in this regard, Chair, the advert was issued, but we learned that there was an error by excluding that particular threshold. And as a result, it resulted into irregular expenditure, but there's no loss of money, and we are following all the necessary procedures to make sure that it's cleared from our books. The next slide, Chair, we also want to share with you the commitments that were made by end of the financial year. We had an amount of 118,000, which were committed by end of this financial year for procurement of ICT that was not delivered by the time we closed financial year. However, that procurement has since been finalized in April after the goods were received and paid for. The next part, Chair, is our accruals. Chair and honorable members, you will recall that IPIT in the last two financial years, they struggled with accruals that were growing each and every year. But I'm happy to announce, Chair, that we have since addressed that part. We are able to pay our contractual obligations fully in the year in which the service has been rendered and which now release the new financial year budget, because we start the new financial budget in the clean sheet. So, Chair, we are happy. However, there are those areas of accruals that cannot be avoidable. Like your AGSA, they will always give you an invoice in March, and by that time, it's already end of the financial year, you cannot settle it. And DPW as well as Justice, their invoices are always late based on their billing system. And we respect their billing system, and we end up disclosing accrual for the service that would have been rendered for that particular financial year. Chair, one of the issues that we've been discussing with yourself and the committee is contingent liabilities. Due to the nature of business that IP conduct, you'll notice that our contingent liabilities increase year in, year out, and mainly because some of the police officers who raised concerns after being arrested by our investigators. However, there's since been measures in place by IPID to try and see how best this contingent liabilities
can be. My apologies. Where are the slides now? You are on the second slide. Where's your slides?
Chair, from my side, I'm on the 12th slide.
On my side, honorable members, am I missing something? On my side, I'm on slide 2. What is happening? Am I out of it today?
No, Chair, you're correct. It's frozen. Yes,
correct. We're stuck on slide 2 still.
Oh, I thought I am a little bit off asleep today. Honorable members, I'm not following. I'm following on my hard copy, but on my screen, I'm only on 2, and it seems as if you also on 2.
Yeah, now the slide is moving now, Chen.
Yes, please, man. I can't be looking as if I'm looking at something which I don't see.
Chen, we are now on slide 12. Are you able to see?
No, now you have a split screen. I'm always having problems with your presentation. This is unacceptable. Every time you come here, you either don't have sound. Now your presentation isn't moving. iPad, you always giving me a headache. Now you're back to 2.
Let me do it.
You give me a split screen.
Teddy, can't you get somebody with whose IT savvy there to do it?
DM, I'm with the team of ICT trying to
assist. Yeah, let them assist with the presentation, then you can talk to it.
No, they are here, DM.
Yeah, go to page 12. You ain't on page 12.
You please give me a full screen. I put you doing this to me. Every time you present to me, you have a problem. You come, you either have a bad connection, you have a bad sound. Today I'm really, I have a limited time. My members are going to leave. You are wasting my time today. Now you have a split screen again.
Chair, we have ICT team there trying to sort this legend out.
I put you on page 12 and you still have only now, you are only getting ICT now. couldn't you get ICT before you started your presentation? Please, this committee is not a kindergarten.
That's stupid. They want the slideshow.
Oh, we don't want a slideshow. We want a proper presentation. Every time you come here, you don't give us a proper presentation.
Okay, that's fine. Check it in.
Yes, now give me a full screen.
Are you able to see the full screen now, Chair?
Yes, you can continue.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Please apologize.
We really apologize, Chair, for that. It will never happen again. From our side, I was seeing a full screen, and you and Honorable Members, Chair, you were not seeing it, but we apologize for that. Chair, if you allow me, I was on the slide that talks to contingent liability. Chair, I was saying, due to the nature of our business, we are faced with letters of demand from some of the sub-members who might have been arrested by our investigators. And as a result, Chair, our contingent liability keeps on growing. And we have seen, and the only challenge is that those cases, they stay long in our contingent liability register. So we have since met with Auditor General as well as State Attorney in order to try to see how we're going to account for our contingent liability. And the executive director has also established a contingent liability task team to assess and analyze those cases that are there so that recommendation can be made on how do we deal with the contingent liability, because we cannot allow a contingent liability that increases each and every financial year. Okay, the next slide talks to the audit outcomes analysis. Chair, with no material statements, which we welcome. However, Chair, we feel strongly that we need to get clean audit by now. Chair, there are few emphasis of matters which we still have to deal with. However, when you compare the year under review with the two previous financial years, there has since been a significant improvement, Chair. And Chair, we are also happy that the AGSA also noted a significant improvement in our predetermined objective with no material findings. The only challenge, Chair, which prevented us to get to a clean audit was one non-compliance on the local content and production, Chair, which is the issue that I was talking about related to procurement of furniture. Chair, here is a slide that demonstrates how we've been performing as IPID. We have been consistently maintaining our unqualified audit opinion. Chair, in 2019-2020, you will notice that Yes, we received unqualified audit opinion. However, we had about four matters of emphasis from AGSA, which challenged management of IPs to address those non-compliances. In the last financial year, which is 2021, Chair, we were able to reduce those matters of emphasis from four to two. However, we were not happy with that, and we continue to the year under review. While we thought, Chair, that we have addressed all the matters and the department is ready for clean audit, there was one non-compliance which prevented us to receive a clean audit. However, it's a matter that is currently receiving attention. Chair, just share with yourself and the honorable members, we agreed on how are we going to make sure that we address some of the concerns raised by AGSA. Amongst other interventions that we've put in place, Chair, is strengthening of our record management systems. We have identified a service provider who's currently on site assisting departments on record management system. Chair, also, we have agreed to ensure compliance with applicable legislation through improved monitoring and enforcement of consequence management. This is one of the issues and concerns that was raised by AGSA. Lack of consequence management, Chair, we have taken a stance on that. We need to make sure that consequence management is applied. Chair, we have also started with training, workshopping, as well as awareness session on departmental policies and legislative compliance so that members can be aware of what needs to be done and what cannot be done when they are in their working environment. Chair, we are also strengthening our internal control functions so that we are able to see some of these non-compliances at any stage and deal with them without being reminded by AGSA. Management has also used the audit findings, Chair, and recommendation to develop an audit action plan, and that has been implemented and monitored on a regular basis to avoid recurrence through the various management meeting platforms. Chair, that will be the end, and thank you very much, and apology once again.
Thank you very much.
The next slide, Chairperson. Please allow me to continue
to
ask the Director for Strategy and Performance Monitoring to then talk about the overall performance of IP 2021.
Thank you. You may continue.
Over to you, Ma'am Elizabeth.
Thank you, Eden. And good honorable Chairperson, honorable members, and Deputy Minister. On slide 17, we are projecting our overall performance of the department per program. Starting with program one, we have achieved 86% of our set targets, with only one target that was not met. And under program two, we achieved 92% of our set target, with only one target that was not met. And for program three and program four, we achieved all our set targets. So the level of performance for these two programs is at 100%. And the overall departmental performance is 94%, with 30 targets that were set against a total of 32. There's only two targets that were not met under program one, is under program one, and the second one is under program two. The next slide, slide 18, is our comparative performance. We have projected our performance from the 2019-2020 financial year to the period under review. And starting with program one, we have noted that our performance has been fluctuating. In the first year, we were at 43%. And the second year, which is 2020-2021, it declined to 20%. And in the current year under review, there was a significant improvement, which led to 86%. And in the second program, which is program two, our core, there has been the performance has been improving. When we compare our performance from the first year, we were at 67%. Then it improved to 69%. And in the period under review, we achieved 92%. And with program three, our performance has also been improving. Starting with 75% in the first year, And in the second and third year, we achieved all our set targets. And with Program 4, their performance has been constant at 100% throughout all the three financial years. When we look into the overall performance, in the first year, we were at 70% and we increased to 73%, and there was a drastic improvement in the period under review, where we managed to complete 94% of our set targets. In slide 19, Chairperson, I will focus more on the targets that were not achieved in the interest of time. The target that was not achieved is on the last row, which is percentage implementation of youth development strategy. The target was 80% and we only managed to implement 42% of the plan, and this was affected by the COVID-19 restrictions, which delayed the recruitment and selection process. And as a result, some of the activities that were planned for implementation during the period under review, they could not be implemented. However, those activities, they were carried over to the current financial year, and we are progressing well in terms of the implementation of the plan. And moving along to Program 2, we'll also focus on the indicator that was not achieved. And what we can also report, Chairperson, is that we have exceeded majority of our targets under Program 2. And in respect of the target that was not met, which is number of investigations of rape while in police custody that are decision ready, we had targeted 6 and we only managed to complete only 3 cases. And the reason being that we only had 3 active cases during the period under review. 1 was a backlog and 2 were new cases that were registered within the period under review. And it can be said that we actually completed 100% of active cases that we had in this classification. Moving along our chapter 10, we have also included slides on our statistical information, which I will quickly run through. We can move to slide 22. On slide 22, we have projected our annual intake comparison table, starting with 2020 and 2021, and with the period under review. We have noted that there was an increase of cases that we registered for about 4 classifications, and that is death in police custody. It increased by 3%, death as a result of police action by 16%, and rape by police officer with 24%. And we also have 2818 cases where we experienced an increase by 313%. So in 2020-2021, we only registered 30, and during the period under review, we registered 124 cases. And most of these cases, Chairperson, they are related to GBV. And in other classifications, we registered lower cases as compared to the previous financial year. And the overall picture, there is a decline by 14%. We registered 5,295, whereas in the 2020-21, we had registered 6,122. In the next slide is an intake per classification. And it can be noted, Chairperson, that for assault cases, we registered 3,407. This is the highest number when we compare with the other classification, and it constitutes about 64%, and it's followed by complaints of discharge of an official firearm with 744, and the third one is death as a result of police action with 410. And the overall number of cases, 5,295. On the next slide is decision-ready cases per classification. We completed 4,015 cases during the period under review. And the highest number of cases that we completed is assault cases with 2,569, and followed by complaints of discharge of an official firearm is 507, and the third one is death as a result of police action with 286. Then we have death in police custody is 205. We can move to the next slide. On the next slide, Chairperson, it's our total workload. The total workload is 40,065 cases, and these are active cases, and including the post-decision monitoring cases, which are cases that are already decision-ready, and they are at different stages of the process. And still on this slide, Chairperson, assault is leading. We have a total of 24,251, which constitutes about 61% of our total workload, followed by complaints of discharge of an official firearm with 5,231 is 13%. And the third one is still death as a result of police action with 3,517, which constitutes about 9%. In the next slide, on the recommendation that we referred to SAPS, we have a total of 2,514, and we have, out of the 2,514, 1,758 are positive recommendations where we are not expecting SAPS to implement any disciplinary actions against the members, their members. And under negative recommendations where we are expecting SAPS to institute a disciplinary action is 756. On the next slide, it's recommendations that were referred to the Metro Police Service, and we have a total of 42 with 26 positive recommendations and 16 negative recommendations. On the next slide, this is the status of the recommendations that were referred to SAPS, the 756. We have 197 where disciplinary action was initiated, and we, by the end of the financial year, we're still awaiting feedback on 82. And under the disciplinary matter that we finalized, the first column is guilty, it's 190, then we have not guilty, it's 99. And where steps are not taken is 155, and where matters are withdrawn is 33. On the next slide is the status on recommendations that were negative recommendations that were referred to the MPS, which are 16. And by the end of the financial year, we were still awaiting feedback on all 16 recommendations. And on the disciplinary convictions that we secured from both SAPS and MPS, Chairperson, this includes even matters that were referred in the previous financial years, not only matters that were referred in the 2021-2022 financial year. It's a total of 239 with 21 verbal warnings, written warnings is 77, final written warnings is 46, salary suspensions is 19, dismissal from service is 53, and corrective counseling is 23. On the next slide, on the criminal referrals that were referred to the MPA, we referred 2,427 criminal referrals to the MPA. With regards to the status, Chairperson, of the 2,427 criminal referrals, we're still awaiting feedback on 1,401 referrals and 964 matters NPA declined to prosecute, and we have 48 matters where NPA decided to prosecute and 14 were withdrawn. In the next slide is the criminal convictions. We secured a total of 20 criminal convictions during the period under review. Going to program three. In program three, we achieved all our set targets for the financial year, with three of our set targets being exceeded. And going to program four, We have also achieved all our set targets, Chairperson, and our targets, most of them, we have exceeded the set targets. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, in conclusion, Chairperson, the department is committed to strengthening internal control deficiencies to improve the audit outcome. Interventions identified to address audit findings are being addressed. We will continue to implement measures to ensure optimal performance in the 2022-2023 financial year. Expansion of IP footprint will continue in collaboration with the Department of Community Safety and other departments as well. The development of a case prioritization framework is in progress and will be prioritized. Reprioritization of budget will continue to enable service delivery. There will be the reduction of contingent liabilities will also continue to be monitored. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. That concludes the presentation. Thanks for the opportunity you gave us to present, and thanks, members. Chair, I think you are muted. Whip, if you can assist, the chair seems to be muted.
Okay. Problems.
Well, we can't hear you also.
Remember the patient.
Whip, we can't hear you. We have lost you completely.
Colleagues, who is having technical problems here?
Now, I think you are back.
The Whip was, Whip, your connection was unstable. I'm here now. Honorable members, I'm going to take your hands now. Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Shembeni and then Honorable Tablanche.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to, thanks to the IP presentation. I'll just be very quick because I'm also having a problem. I have to drive to the airport. Mine is not that much, Chair. I'm just checking on number one, the case prioritization framework that is in progress. And it said that here it will be prioritized. How
are you going to deal with that? How are you going to prioritize the cases? Number two, I want to check with the so-called now, the misconduct by members, Chair. Which province is leading all these provinces in terms of misconduct by members? And for if you say from the previous financial years, say you can start from 2019 up until maybe now, if you check which province is leading those provinces, and if there is a province that is leading, what are the main causes of this misconduct by members in these provinces? What are the interventions that are being made in order to stop such? In terms of dismissals, I want to check also there which ranks are affected most and which cases are those members being dismissed for? And also on that, are there any interventions by the departments, either SAPS or whatever, to maybe bring down those cases or teach the members not to do 1, 2, 3? Are these cases or these crimes that these members are dismissed for committed during their performance of their duties or off duty? These are the things that I would like to hear from the IPIP. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Sablanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, let me start to, I want to comment, I put on the unqualified audit. That is my first observation here. Chairperson, but then again, if you look on slide 15, on page 25, I'm a bit concerned. You know, we saw overall performances in the range from 86 up to 100%. And, you know, it appears on, you know, face value that this is a brilliant performance. But if you check page slide 15, we see that people are having a backlog, chairperson, of 40,000 something, 65 cases. Now, that is really very concerning, taking into account, you know, the number of people that IPIT have to do the investigations. You know, I think they are in serious trouble. Chairperson, then the turnaround time from the MPA seem to be very problematic. There is, you know, apparently they are still awaiting 1,401 cases there where they need feedback. Chairperson, if you look at the performance in terms of finalized cases and going down the list, there are only 20 convictions. Now, if you look at the total number of cases that those people are dealing with, this is a very, very dismal performance. And I really want to know, what would the problem be? Why is there such a growing backlog? Why is there such a slow feedback from the MPA? And when do they think that they will ever be able to deal with this number of cases? Chairperson, then, recently in the media, it was reported that police officials only in the Sunday Times, you know, only got warnings for rape cases. And my question is, was that cases referred by IPIT to the MPA? And if so, what was the ruling on that? because really, you know, just to get a warning and the salary suspended for a case as serious as that, I think that is very concerning. Chairperson, as I said, the performance, I think that, you know, that I already said that that is not satisfactory. It was also mentioned that this department are dealing with financial constraints. Now, while it's true, you know, I just want to say that all departments, not only I, but all departments are battling with financial constraints. And I would like to know, what are they going to do with the resources that they have to address these problems? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Blanche. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, firstly, I want to start into slide 22. If we look there, the annual intake comparisons, I see that the rape by police officer, 99 for the 21-22 financial year, and in custody, only two. Firstly, I have my questions on only two cases. Is that true? And how do you distinction then, where did a rape by a police officer, the other 99 cases of rape, where did it take place? In a police station, in public, or where? So I want a clear answer on that. If you look at the ready cases or the documents, then on the rape again, I see by police officer 86 and in custody 3. So there is a backlog, quite clearly. But that figure of 2, I don't really understand. Then, Honorable Chair, if I look at slide 32, then I see that IPET is still, it's about the criminal referrals, and I see on slide 21 the referrals in total is 2,427. Now, on slide 32, they're still waiting for 1,401 feedbacks from the police services. But then, Chairperson, if we look at the decline to prosecute, 964, 48 were prosecuted and 14 were withdrawn. Now, Chairperson, if you do the calculation, it is clear that the success rate of cases referred by IPET for criminal referrals is only 4.9%, less than 5%. Let's make it 5%. That's the success rate. Now, Chairperson, that tells me there's something seriously wrong with the investigation from IPET. How can IPET be proud to say that they only have a success rate of 4.9%? Because 964 of the investigations and the referrals, there was a declining to prosecute. And 14 have been withdrawn. Only 48 have been prosecuted. So I would like to have an answer on that success rate. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald. Honorable members, I do not note any further hands. Dr. Groenewald, you already correct. What is happening here, Honorable Groenewald, Honorable De Blanche and Shembeni, is totally unacceptable. I do not think that we can safely say that those who have to enforce the law are breaking the law. Those who are fighting gender-based violence are indeed guilty of gender-based violence themselves. And if we are unable to monitor our own, and our own are getting away with this, how do we expect gender-based violence to be addressed by our own SAPs and overseen by IPED when there's clear lapses of commitment? We can actually interpret this as a lack of commitment to monitor those that we oversee. This is very, very disconcerting, and it's unacceptable, and it's very disappointing. Honorable members, do we have any further comments? If not, IPED.
I will request that the executive director and the team lead in the responses, Chair, through you.
I've called on IPED-GM.
Thank you very much. I am going to hand over to our national head of investigation to respond to some of the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, executive director. I want to thank the honorable members as well as our political principal. DM. The first question that deals with the case prioritization, I would like to indicate that the prioritization is based on three pillars, which is top priority. These are cases that will be initiated by the national office as well as supervised by the national office. We have high priority cases. These are cases of serious nature that are solvable and that have high impact in the society. So in terms of this category, we are going to put our best resources and make sure that these cases are monitored on a regular basis. We also have the last category, which is your assault common. Mainly these cases are cases where you find that the level of solvability is low. But there are cases where a person can just complain that during arrest, I was pushed to the ground. So they will be investigated to be given priority like these other two categories. In order to support this structure of prioritization, the directorate is in collaboration with APCOF, where we are working out this model. And we have started to implement it with other things that need to be refined, which will be finalized now in, will be dealt with now in November. We also issued a national instruction to provinces to check these cases so that they can be able to identify those that need to be categorized in terms of what is happening in each and every single case. In order to have a proper support of this system, we also added a layer where we will be having quality assurers. These are people who will be recruited from ex-prosecutors, former prosecutors, who will be able to move with our provinces and be able to check quality of investigation to ensure that we do proper work on these categories. So, honorable members, I need to give an assurance that we are on track as far as prioritization is concerned.
Thank you.
The issue of which province is leading with regard to the misconduct, that information can be provided, and I think also it appears we can be able to provide that information in writing, so that we can be able to give the details in terms of the number as well as the type of misconduct, and also to show which cases do these misconducts arise from. Which ranks are affected mostly by these cases? We'll be able to provide this information, but I want to indicate that most of the the ranks that are affected are those that are on the operational side of things, which means you will have your constable, you have your warrant officer, and sometimes you have captain. We have some sporadic cases of some of senior ranks, but we'll be able to detail that information for the portfolio committee. In terms of the intervention by the department to deal with the challenges, we have established through the NPM, which is spearheaded by a Human Rights Commission. We are visiting place of detention. We are conducting station lectures. In the financial year in question, we were able to do over 86 station lectures and cell inspection, which we are educating the police the need to respect the rights of the people, and also to know in terms of the work of the directorate, the responsibility, as well as the implication of IPID Act. There is an issue which was raised about the conviction rates. The conviction rate, I understand, we really admit we have a challenge, that the conviction rate is a challenge. We are working on that. The executive director has formed a knowledge prosecute team. We wanted to know, why are we having such a high number of cases that are declined, which will give rise to the low conviction rate? So if a team was formed, it worked for over 4 months, went all through the nine provinces. They drew all the cases which were declined by Director of Public Prosecution, and they worked out in a document. That document resulted in the crafting of the strategy that is going to be utilized in order to assist provinces to be able to conduct quality investigation. And it's also going to be aided by the case prioritization that is being aided by APCOF. So the challenge with conviction is a problem for us. But we need also to indicate there are other issues that play a role in this. Because when you investigate a case, that case needs to be proven beyond reasonable doubt. And South African police members, they know very well to say if they are to commit any act, what is it that they need to do so that you will have less evidence. Most of these cases are committed in a very excluded area where there will be no witnesses. And during the time of COVID, you will hear a witness saying that, I cannot be able to identify these people because they were wearing masks. So you would have very strong evidence. You are supported in terms of your J88, your medical records. But when you take this case to court, the complainant or the victim himself or herself cannot identify a police member who committed the act. So that is one side of things. But we are trying our level best to really better our standard in terms of investigation and make sure that we increase the number of cases that are decided upon for prosecution and ultimately impact on conviction once they go to court. There's also an issue of the backlog that has been raised, and we need to indicate, and I want to tie this point to the issue of 40,000 cases. The 40,000 cases can be categorized as follows. We have 24,000 cases that are regarded as PDM. These are cases that have been sent to the Director of Public Prosecution and have been declined. Some of them are in court. So these are cases that we just need to close them. It's not much that needed to be done. Then we have around 12,000 cases of backlog. But in terms of the assessment that we recently conducted, we realized that of these 12,000 cases of backlog, 73% of these cases are assault comma, which means those are minor cases that we can be able to deal with and dispose. Now, in terms of dealing with backlog, we developed a backlog strategy. We are in the process of recruitment, which we believe that will be finalized by the end of December. People will start at the beginning of January.
These people will be assisting provinces that are having high backlog rates. The following provinces are affected. We have KZN, Gauteng, as well as Western Cape. So we're going to be employing around 5 to 6 retired members from IPID or SAPS who will be vigorously vetted in order for them to fit our criteria. They will be able to work and assist us to really dispose the backlog cases, which now they stand at around 12,000. So we have the budget available for that, and we'll be able to update the honorable members in terms of the progress of this endeavor. There is an issue which was raised about rate. Why are we having 2 and then in the other financial year we were having 50? This is not rape by a police officer. This is rape in custody. In terms of Sexual Offences Act, when a male person then forcefully have intercourse with another male person, it's regarded as rape. So we are mandated to look into that to check whether police were negligent. So it shows that in the other financial year, we had 15. That it has reduced drastically in the last financial year, and because of our cell inspection that we have done, and also advise the police to deal with overcrowding. So in that instance, we only received 2 cases which we were able to investigate and complete in the same financial year. When it comes to the actual rape by police officer, we received 99 cases, but of these 99 cases, 349 were committed by on-duty police officers and 50 by off-duty police officers. We have, in terms of our processes and system in place, these cases are prioritized, heavily prioritized, because they also form part of the gender-based violence. In terms of, let me reiterate on the issue of the improvement of conviction rates. There are following things that I want the honorable members to note. Number one, the prioritization, which is led by APCO. Number 2, the quality assurance that is going to be led by the former prosecutors. Number 3, an internal control where we want senior members within the department to be the one who drive the inspection of cases so that they can be able to make sure that the investigation that is done there is of quality. And then lastly, we are having continuous engagement with NPA at a provincial level and at a national level so that we can be able to get our investigation on track and address the challenges that we have. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Scuba. Chair, I must indicate from our side that, Chair, we are doing our level best to deal with police brutality and police misconduct. I have noted the concerns raised by members. With all what Mr. Kuba has said, we are going to make sure that we improve our conviction rate. We are going to make sure that we continue to arrest police officers who have transgressed the law. And we are going to make sure that we are fully on board in terms of playing our oversight role. Chairperson, fortunately, all this is taking place during our stretch plan. Now, all the questions and all the concerns that have been raised by members of the portfolio committee, we are also noting them. In our discussions or deliberations, we will make sure that we include all those members. So, yeah, basically, this is the commitment that we are making, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ED. Before I take the next round of questions, DM, would you like to come in?
Oh, no, I'm happy with the responses, Chair. Thanks very much for members.
Sorry, Chair, we forgot the other one on limited funding. I'm handing over to Finance.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, there was a question raised by Honourable Dr. Branch on how do we make sure that we achieve our objective with limited funding. Chair, I must say it's not an easy one, but we continue to reprioritize our core functions through internal shifting of funds where necessary. Okay, we have also engaged with various stakeholders on sharing of resources without compromising our mandate, Chair. To date, we have partnered with NYDA, the EU in place, that assisted us with an intake of intents in various IT offices in provinces. Chair, we have also partnered with community safety departments in some of the provinces to increase our footprints. They are assisting us with offices in those specific provinces. We also have a SACITA, Chair. We have signed an MOU with on skills development. They are assisting with training of our investigators as well as our admin officers. And we recently also signed an MOU with NPA, Chair ID to be specific, where we are sharing capacity in the case where there are a need to share our limited capacity. We are doing that. And we are continuing, Chair, to consult with other stakeholders so that we are able to do more with less. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'll allow another round of questions, including members who are unhappy about the responses they've received. I've noted Honourable Ter Blanche and then Honourable Groenema.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, I am even more concerned now. You know, the answers that we got, you know, were very vague. You know, people are talking in futuristic terms. They are going to do that. They're planning to do the following. Meaning, you know, that is what I understand, you know, with this responses that we got. It's not in place at the moment. Chairperson, it is clear that the quality of the investigations are not up to standards, because if you send something to the NPA, you must ensure that at least that you have a prima facie case, that you stand a proper chance that, you know, a person will be charged, well, found guilty. And, you know, it's obvious that the stuff that they're sending through is not up to standards. Chairperson, then we also heard that a lot of cases apparently needs to be closed by them. And the question is, why are they not doing that? Chairperson, this institution is in trouble. They are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They don't have the impact that they're supposed to be having. And the police are getting away with things that they have committed, apparently serious crimes, because IPED is not able to investigate it properly, and the committee will have to do something to ensure that some intervention is going to be done there. This is not acceptable, Chairperson. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Ter Blanche. We may now have Honourable Dr. Groenewa.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, I think I strongly agree with the Honourable Ter Blanche that he's now even more worried. Chairperson, why I say that? Let's just look at the figures. Decision-ready cases per classification, I take right by police officer. But criminal convictions, only one. Only one. Now, can I say, Honourable Chair, I didn't know who spoke at what stage because my screen only says IPED. So IPED responded. Why do we have an IPED? Chairperson, IFET is there so that the public can have the confidence that if there's a problem with the police, they can go to IFET, and IFET is supposed to police the police. IFET is there as an instrument for the public if they have a specific problem with the police services. Now, Chairperson, I want to put it very clearly. IFET is failing the public of South Africa. If you look at the statistics, I don't have enough fingers to see how many times I heard that we're going to improve. We have a problem. Now, one of the members of IPET mentioned number one, number two, number three.
Honorable members, is it Honorable Groenewald that has a problem or am I having a problem?
Say again. Can you hear me? Honorable Chair, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Honorable Groenewald. I think Honorable Chairperson is having problem with the network.
Okay, right. Thank you. Deputy, I'm then going to continue. I said that I heard so many years that we're going to improve, that there's a new strategy, but I don't see it in the statistics. Now, when the person spoke, the one who mentioned one, two, and three and everything, what he actually said, he said, and if we look at the process, then it actually means they handed over these dockets to the police services, but then it is out of their hands, and then the investigation by police, because there should be then an investigation there that the docket can go to the court. It's not doing his their work. That's the way I understand it, and that is what actually has been said. Now, I want to know, Honorable Deputy Minister, you then can respond on behalf of the police services. How is it that if I could refer dockets to police services to take action, what is the police services doing? Because if that is the correct procedure, if the way I have it, it appears that the moment police receive the docket and they have to take it to court, then there's a problem. What is that problem? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable members, the WIP and I, honorable members, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Chairperson.
The WIP and I are moving around to get better network. I'm just asking you to be patient with us today. I am following the meeting. I am in the meeting. It is just that I'm shifting around so that I can get a better network. I apologize to members for this. Honorable members, this situation is very unacceptable. I have never seen a situation where we are actually I really saying that there's very little, if we can say that there's been progress. We cannot say there's any progress. I'm going to ask IPA to respond before I conclude.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We are going to be responding to Member Terrell Blanchard's concern. The quality of investigation.
Executive Director.
The future of
Executive Director. You do not identify yourself. No, Executive Director. an iPad. We just see iPad on our screens. We don't see faces. Can you please, we cannot just see iPad. You don't identify yourself. We just have iPad on our screens.
Say the executive director. I'm here.
Oh, we don't see your face. We don't see your name.
Show your face where possible, executive director.
Hey, can you see me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Chair, we are now responding to the second round of questions. There are questions posed by member Chair Blanche with regards to the futuristic plan. Chair, we have already started with the work. We had some budget problems, but fortunately in the second quarter, there is money that has been released, or there is some savings that we have realized. Now we're acting on what we said we are going to be doing. So action is in motion. The employment of our retired prosecutors is already in motion. We've already started with a headhunting. We've consulted DPP to give us the names of those people. So we're starting to be interviewing them by end of October. And then secondly, with regards to quality assurance, we've already gotten the names as well. We are interviewing as well so that we can be able to get the numbers that we want. So there is action in place to deal with the challenges that we've already identified. So I'm going to hand over to Mr. Kuba to then talk about the quality of investigation, which seems to be a challenge.
Thank you, ED and Honorable Honours. That to say, as far as quality of investigation is concerned, that we really acknowledge that there is a room for improvement when it comes to that. That's why we have this intervention. But I would want to take the honorable members to the annual report that we have 941 cases that are on a court roll. That actually symbolizes the work that has been done by the directorate, because you would not really have a case to court unless the investigation was done properly and the case can be proven beyond reasonable doubt. If you look at our rape, the one that we say that we prioritize, we have 108 cases that are on a court roll now. So which means if these cases are concluded, then we will see the spike in terms of conviction. The other thing that I also need to remind the honorable members about is that we had COVID. Most of our court sittings were postponed. So we could not do much during that time because most of the cases were postponed. That affected the number of convictions. And I would want to indicate to the one who has the conviction rate of 4.9%. It's understandable. It's too low. We were supposed to be higher, but there are a number of factors that contributed to that. The issue of COVID-19, that most of the cases could not be finalized. The issue of closure of cases. I need to indicate that we have interns, and I think our CFO has alluded to that. Now, these interns have been assisting. We have been training them. So far, in the past 6 months, they managed to close nearly 2,000 cases. We believe that we are going to gather the speed in terms of closure as they start to learn more about our processes and our system. So we are not really just sitting idle and say, no, we have this number of cases, 24,000. We are going to close them. And we are getting better in doing that. I believe by the end of the financial year, we'll be above 5,000 in terms of closure. The issue of impact is very, very significant because that talks to our existence. And we are doing our level best to make sure that the investigation that we conduct impacts positively. It has deterrent effect so that the members do not commit. And if you can check the statistical information, there are reduction of some of the categories of cases that we are dealing with. There is also an issue which was raised about the referral of recommendation or cases to
to SAPS. We don't refer cases for criminal prosecution to SAPS. We only refer for departmental steps. But we are also having challenges that we are trying to iron out with SAPS. Because when we refer these cases, sometimes they start with their own investigations, which delay the process of finalizing the case departmentally. And our view and our understanding is that once a case is referred, they need to implement the recommendation. There is also a challenge that we are also addressing with SAPS, where you find that the disciplinary steps shows that the person has nothing wrong that he has done. But comes the criminal case, the person is found guilty. We have a serious challenge with that because a case that is decided on or departmentally is decided based on the balance of probability, whereas criminally is beyond reasonable doubt. The lesser scale that is used in a departmental case was supposed to find this person guilty, more so because he has been found guilty criminally. Thank you.
In conclusion, we, like I said before, we are doing our level best. All the strategies that we have put in place are being implemented. We're currently doing that. We want to make sure that we turn around the situation. Yes, we realize and acknowledge that the conviction rate is very low. Yes, we realize that we need to do something. Hence, the introduction of this quality assurance strategy. Hence, the implementation of the backlog strategy. We will do our level best by engaging our NPA to assist us in fast-tracking some of our cases on the court rolls. We will also do our level best because we consistently engage SAPS on the recommendations. But the plea is that, Chairperson, if we were to form part of the disciplinary hearing of SAPS, this will assist a lot. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I think the other issue that I was specifically asked to talk to the executive director responded to that matter with the team, that cases that needs to, I've been trying to switch on it has responded. Cases that have to be referred to court, they don't take them to SAPS. They directly take them with the to the court processes for processing. So it's only those that need departmental processing that are taken to SAPS, as he has outlined. I think the weaknesses that have been seen there with regard to the prosecutions, the IPED has developed a mechanism to try and deal with that. I think those issues that were outlined, but also the issue of interfacing with the prosecution authority to ensure that the cases that are referred for prosecution are done in such a manner that it enhances the prosecutability of those cases. So there is a need for an interface between the executive director and the DPP. So that is a matter that is being handled administratively within IPED. And of course, the interface between IPED and the police through the executive director and the national commissioner is an imperative that needs to be taken into consideration so that there is an understanding from both the police and IPED on how things are supposed to be processed once referred to the South African police for processing, because these are two distinct institutions, even though they are interdependent, because their intentions is to create a professionalized police services. IPED is there to ensure that ultimately the South African police conduct themselves in such a manner that it becomes irrelevant to have an institution called IPED to police over them, because they will be doing their work in terms of what the law says they must conduct themselves in. And I think this is a process that as the leadership of SAPS are encouraging to ensure that our police officers conduct themselves in a manner that is acceptable, and there's no need for some other organs to oversee their activities. But thanks, Chair and committee members, for the questions asked. I must say that yes, the work is there, there is progress, but we can do more. And I think with the commitment by the leadership of IPID, there will be improvement as we move forward. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable members, that brings us to the end of the IPID presentation. These issues are urgent. Honourable Deputy Minister, these urgent issues again highlight the need for the IPID Amendment Bill. IPID must be strengthened through legislation. We have failed to bring that legislation to the committee, and we have failed to complete an IPID amendment bill. So I'm appealing to you, Deputy Minister, to fast track the IPID amendment bill so that we can strengthen IPID and so that we do not have this situation continuing. This situation is not just unacceptable, but it's worrying, and our report is not just about us having a clean audit. Our reports are also about how effective we are in implementing our constitutional and legal mandate. Honourable members, I don't see any further hands. Could we now have the CIRA presentation? Deputy Minister, you can introduce the CIRA presentation, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We have noted the comments you have made. We will do what is possible to ensure that that piece of legislation is brought to it gets processed so that we really strengthen their ability to do their work. I am with the chair of the board and the chief executive officer of IPID, who will lead us in the presentation. Without further ado, Chair, through you, if we may allow the chair of the board and the CEO to lead in the presentations. Through you, Chair.
CIRA, good morning. You may start your presentation.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. From our side, we just have apologies from the other members of council. Some of them did join for an hour or so, and then they left to attend to other things. But I just want to bring to your attention before the management starts with the presentation that we have got the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee with us as well, Mr. Nalam Shongo.
My apologies, Doc. Doc, can you please introduce yourself for our record purposes, and then also introduce all the members of the board who were here and those who are still with us. Thank you, Doc. Very good to see you again.
Sorry, Chair, for the intervention. Yes. I was requesting that we allow the IPID team to be released, Chair, so that they can attend to others.
Maybe IPID may be released. Doc, you may continue. First, introduce yourself for our records. And your members of your board who had been here, and those who are still with us, thank you.
All right. No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning. Good morning to the DM as well. So I am Dr. Leah Mufome. I'm the Chairperson of the CIRA Council. And then we had Mr. Ngubane. He was here for the first 2 hours, as well as Dr. Sembile Mbete, but they then had requested to be excused we just didn't want to disturb you, so I thought I will just indicate it when we get an opportunity, this opportunity to speak. And then Mr. Nala Mhlongo is the chairperson of our Audit and Risk Committee, who is also joining us. So at the moment, it's just myself, and then from the board committee or council committee is Mr. Mhlongo. The presentation will be done by the CFO, but Ntate Chauke, the director of CIRA, is here with his management. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll then hand over to them.
Thank you, Chairperson. With your permission, good morning to the Chairperson, to the Deputy Minister, and all honourable members. Chairperson, I'm just going to introduce the CIRA team that is here. We have the CFO. By way of introduction, my name is Sam Chauke. I am the CEO of CIRA. We have with us Ms. Matlo Sibohodi. She is the CFO of CIRA. We also have Ms. Talent Zwani. She is the Deputy Director of Law Enforcement for CIRA. And we have Mr. Isaac Raloma. He is the Acting Chief Operations Officer. We also have Mr. Azwi Tsitsikamlilo. He is the Acting Head of Training. And we have our company secretary, Mr. Jacob Maholwani. We also have support staff, Mr. Mulifema Tumela, as well as Advocate Nyambani, who's with us. Thank you so much, Chairperson. The CFO will lead the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chauke. You may continue.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm hoping that you can hear me now.
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Okay. Wait.
Thank you.
Okay.
Your network is good. You can continue. But now we have seen you, you can continue with your presentation. Thank you. Now I'm struggling. Do I have sound?
Yeah, I think Ms. Matlo is muted. The CFO, yes. Can just unmute.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members of the committee, and good morning. I will just go through to the next slide. The Chairperson and the CEO did our first slide of introduction. I'll just quickly move to the annual report. The first page is in relation...
With your permission, Chairperson, therefore, can you share the slides, please?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Is everyone, can they see the slides? Our slides are in PDF. Yes. Thank you. Can I proceed? The slide talks to the key highlights. And we have achieved 82% of our APP targets. And in terms of our security business, we have investigated 6.8.
Honorable members,
I'm struggling with technology, and seemingly iPad and Ciro are struggling with technology today. I'm going to allow them to present in this format. I don't really have time and patience today to be fighting over the format of presentation. But DM, can you please ensure that when you present to the committee, that your teams are ready? Now they're having a problem with the format.
Okay, no, I hear you, Chair. We'll make sure we do that. Yeah. Our apologies.
Please, DM, now, this slide is not even, it's cut it halfway. I don't understand what is happening with you today. No, please, DM, this is really unacceptable. These meetings are communicated live to different channels. It's very unprofessional if we have this situation in our meetings. And it's not the first time that we have the problems with iPad. And now Sira is following the same direction. Thank you, Nicolette. Yes, that's better. Thank you, Nicolette. All right, you may continue now.
Thank you. So in this slide, we are going to, we are speaking to, in relation to, can, I don't
Please unmute CFO.
Yes, I'm asking myself, who is having a problem here today?
I unmute and it goes back. Thank you, Chair, but my slides cannot move anymore from the other side. My apologies about that, but now. So it does move itself.
Chairperson, if I may, see if I can just say next slide, and then I'll move it.
Thank you, Nicolette. Please, can we assist Sira? Sira, you cannot come to me like this. Please, you are unprepared. If you are prepared, it means that your technology, your gadgets, your sound, everything should be ready. You know you have to present to the committee. I told you this morning, we cannot, DM, this is unprofessional. Please, DM. Nicolette,
I hear you, sir.
Nicolette, can you please assist Sira? Sira, can you tell us when we must change your slide?
The first slide. Can you go back, Nicolette, on that other one? So we're going to go to the highlights. I go back one more slide. Our slides are in PDF. That's the problem. So next time we won't PDF them. That's the issue, that they are no longer in a slide format. Apologies for
but
that.
But really, how can you come and present me? You do a presentation. You come here without slide format. You give me a presentation in PDF. Now we must be told, go back, come back. No, really, really, really. Today is not a good day. Please continue.
Yeah, I can see it's not a good day, Chair, but we will make sure we don't come into this space again. Our apologies.
Please continue.
The slides, in terms of the performance achievement, we have achieved 82% in terms of our targets, which indicates that we only did not achieve 5 of them. And in terms of our security business inspectors, we have managed to inspect 6.8 and 30,000 security officers, and then our arrests were 825, and our operations were 44. In relation, the arrest was due to the 44 operations that were conducted, and 1.9 inspections were also conducted in relation to your firearm, the firearms. And then we successfully prosecuted 1035. And the next slide speaks to the other achievement in terms of the fines imposed. We managed to impose fines amounting to 25 million. And then also we have managed to new training centers. There were 174, and then in relating to the training of cost report, we have processed 570 cost reports. You'll see when we do our financial performance, you'll see that training income is one of the income that is really assisting us. And then we also had launched a registration and training online. And the next slide relates to audit outcome, which is slide number 8. The audit outcome, we unfortunately don't have a favorable audit outcome, but there's a lesson learned from there, and we put measures in place to ensure that this doesn't happen in future. So we have our issue was in terms of the principal liability, something that we are not used to it, but during the process of audit, we learned how to ensure that there's common understanding between us and the AG. What it says that we did not submit adequate evidence, but it mainly because of we did not understand each other, AG and CIRA. But what we have done in terms of this is the principal liability. So there's two contracts, contract from UIF with CIRA, and then the CIRA contract another person. So accounting in terms of GRAP, and when is the service regarded as finalized between these two contracts. So I think those were our main issues when to classify that service has been rendered, because GRAP, we're using accrual accounting, it requires us to indicate the correct occurrence. When did the service happen, and what is the when do we classify the service as occurred? So those were some of the issues, but we have gathered some knowledge from that, and going forward, we are going to make sure that it's recorded adequately. And then the next slide, we are speaking to the action plans to address that audit finding. We have developed a clear guidelines to ensure that the system description is a document that the AG uses. It comes from us, but is the system, it's a document that is used by the auditors to audit us. So we try to align the two contracts and also look at the GRAP in terms of principal liability, how it's supposed to be accounted. And then we also requested our internal audit to review the SAS document that we have, and also to review the system description, and also review the documents that we had at financial year. So the report will be presented to the audit committee that is coming in the next week. And then also we looked at GRAP aspects, and we having a meeting on the 18th. For them to check whether what we have been agreed, how we're presenting our principal liability is adequate going forward. So we just want to have a correct opening balance and ensuring that going forward we present that thing adequately. So we also, further on what we did, we after all this has happened, we having a meeting, we have met with the AG, but another meeting is scheduled for the 20th just to see where we are so that we are on a common path. So we don't want to be thinking that we are right before the AG says, yes, all your efforts are driving towards what, just to share the common, we level the expectation so that we don't reach the end of the year where the AG says, but or we said we thought. So we just want to iron out that. And then further on, what we are going to do at the end of this finance, not financial year, quarter three, you are going to prepare an interim financial statement. And then we will give them to the AG to audit us before the regulator audit, so that we are fully, we get an assurance that measures that we've put in place are adequate and they will eliminate the finding. And so that we are, so this report will come in January. And then when we go in March, when we close the financial year, we'll have everything ready and the AG and us will be on par. So we have systems in place. And another thing, when you look at our next slide, we're speaking to the root two, next slide, we're talking to root causes. You can see the root causes that were there. It's inadequate review of supporting. It relates to the principal liabilities and also in graph. So when you look at our root causes and the graph, we have put measures that are aligned to ensure that those two root causes have been addressed, so that our financial statements are not of a concern, as you see this report. But we also have AG acknowledged that we have best practices in terms of our supply chain management, because you will see that we don't have those fruitless and irregular expenditure. And then I'll quickly just go to the next slide in relation to the POCP recommendations. The next one, which is page 12, we talked to when we will consider buying its own building. We have done a structural assessment at Acadia Building, and then we have looked at how the building can be used. The report was still condemning the building. And further on, we also got that structural integrity report, where they check whether the slabs are still in good quality. So we are in a process of checking whether we can repurpose it or demolish it so that we can have our own building. But another factor here is we are trying to go online. So some of the things before we finalize whether we're buying a building, because sometimes you don't want to have a building that is big where people are able to do, and then we can automate systems so that we don't need a lot of people in the office, and also we can ensure that we have vendors everywhere so that our security officers can get services. And the another issue was crime prevention strategy between SAPS. The next slide, it was in relating to the MOU between CIRA, in terms of that is underway, and then we're hoping that it will finalize, it will be finalized in due course. And I'll run through the slides in relation to performance, as Chairperson, and we have the next slide is, we have achieved 82%, which is 23.5 of the the targets were not achieved. And I'll just move quickly to slide number 21, where it indicates that one was not achieved in relating to the program one. This one relates to the risk. If you go to slide number 23, you'll see that there is one slide, one achievement, slide number 23, where there is a red there. We did not achieve in terms of our next slide. We did next one and another one. Yes. And yeah, that where we achieved a red in terms of strategic risk assessment, where we thought we would have a online assessment, and unfortunately we did not. It's slide number 23, it's just one up. Yes, that one. So where we have had risk challenges with our risk implementation plan, and you see it has we have suffered the rates in relation to this. It was a KPI in one of our programs, and also a risk mitigation plan. So at one stage, you see me repeating myself, and this is the only one that we have not achieved in program one. And then I'll move to slide number 31. You can proceed where there's another red. Yes, you can proceed. Yes. Another red is in relating to the registered business completing online assessment. So in here we were trying to measure how the public receives our services, but the online system is active. Unfortunately, it did not gain traction as it was supposed to. So we thought it will gain a traction of 40, but we only had 28%. But we're still pursuing this, but we are pursuing this to ensure that most of our security business use this system. So we want a model similar to SARS where you declare and then we can single you out, sample, and then do an inspection in terms of your risk metrics. And then I'll move again to another program three, which is training, which is slide number 89, where there is another red that we have is online assessment. It relates to that first one that I spoke to. So it was a KPI and also a risk mitigation plan. So once we have not received the KPI, so the risk manifested itself. So this is the same one where we were planning to have an online external assessment. Unfortunately, was not responsive, but we will. We are still trying to make sure that the service, the target is being achieved. And then on the last program, which is page for the slide number 47. It's in relating to another red. We have the online registration. We had turnaround time to finalize registration applications. Unfortunately, there was a dependency in terms of fingerprints. So the service provider in relating to the one that is assisting us with fingerprint had problems, and unfortunately it had an impact in terms of our turnaround time. But we have put some penalty clauses, consequence management in terms of performance of service providers, and we are also looking at how best to ensure internal processes inside to ensure that this is eliminated and the targets are met. And the next one, we have also not achieved it, which is the next slide. We also have the online platform that was launched in February. So initially, when we planned at the beginning of the financial year, we thought we would launch earlier so that the 30% are in on time. Unfortunately, due to system challenges when it was tested, we had to defer the launching of the system, and then it also affected our KPI. And then quickly, in the next slide, I'll just move to compliance inspection. You notice that we have done the compliance inspection. We are at this is also supported by the KPIs on top. Then you can move to the next slide on this one, where we talk to enforcement. If you look at the enforcement, those are some of the things that we have done. We are growing, and remember, Chairperson, we speak to law enforcement as our core, and you notice that we have increased in terms of the numbers, but they are not as significant as last year, but we are aiming to make sure that this thing, the inspections are increased. And then I'll just quickly move to, if I'm allowed, Chairperson, the other slide is in terms of, I've spoken about it on my the introduction. I think now, if I'm allowed, Chairperson, can I move to the research, which is slide number 63. We have done some research to assist us to better regulating the industry. We have done the impact of 4IR, the use of firearm, and the impact of COVID-19 in our industry. And the aim of this is to ensure that we better regulate the industry, and we have a good study to ensure that when we regulate, we address the real issues that will improve compliance in the industry. And the next slide, which is in relating to staff composition, We have also capacitate our law enforcement to ensure that when those, I'll just make an example in terms of your online assessment or inspection, we are able to gain traction and able to ensure that compliance is practiced or is implemented when the security providers are rendering the service. And then next slide is they are relating to the finances, financial overview. This one is this, this one, the finance overview, we have increased 10%. If we look at the previous year, we used to have our going concern issues, and since we have implemented the turnaround strategy, and I think management and the board, the council, they are we have implemented this as not now a turnaround strategy. It's one of the things that we practice every day because it has implemented a positive result going forward. So it's no longer a turnaround strategy. It's how FIRA funds are managed going forward. So the best practices thereof, they are now implemented continuously. So this 28% increase is mainly due to the annual fee, sale of goods and fines and training that has a positive variance. And also the expenditure has increased. Remember when you, there's activities that we added in the financial year, and you notice that we have online system, we've got online assessments. Those are some of the things that cost this increase. And then we say that we have also, when you look at our previous surplus, at some stage we had a minus where we had a deficit, but our surpluses now are growing at a good rate. And it proves that the cost containment or turnaround strategy that we have implemented, it's working. Even if you look at the cash balances that we had in our books, at some stage we did not have anything. And when we were auditing, when we were audited, AG was concerned about our going concern. But now I think the strategies are yielding desired result as planned. And then the next slide is our financial position. This is where we check whether our assets and liabilities are aligned. And if you look at the current ratio, where you compare your liabilities and your current assets, so we are able to fund our liabilities. So we are still in a going concern. So if it's, the normal ratio is 1.1, we are at 1.2. So we for every rent, we've got an extra rent to saves our debt. And then also when you look at our equity in terms of the cash flow, which is 38%, we are also looking very good in that one in terms of our financial position. So the next one is our financial performance. We also doing very well there, where we have you look at our revenue has increased, and then also the expenditure has increased, but at the end we still have a surplus there. Can we move to the next slide, which is also our cash flow? Our cash flow is also a support to, and it also gives the committee a view of how the movement of funds throughout the financial year. So you will see this is the cash movement, and this is not a non-cash item. Then you see how much money has been utilized. So it's something that you use maybe where you want to compare accrual and cash, but this is where you now see whether the money, the actual money that is in a bank, is used adequately. So we have those key items there. We still have closed with a positive net cash inflow. You can move to the next slide where we speak to the challenges. The next slide, which is the last one. So this is, we just want to ensure, because our financial model is still volatile, but we are still making sure that we still continue with our cost containment measures. So our financial model is not, you cannot say the security business will support you 100% as planned. So we're still trading cautiously to ensure that we have adequate resources when they are required. Those are some of the cost containment measures that we plan to continue implementing. And the last slide, which is the one in relation to the things that the Auditor General, but I've also spoken to them earlier on. And we have a combined assurance model where we use our internal auditors and also the Finance and Risk Committee and the Council. So we are just going to make sure that they are adequately supported by management to ensure that the finances of CIRA are adequate. And then also the internal audit will be there to ensure that the internal control deficiency noted are addressed and to ensure that the combined assurance committees are supported adequately. And then at some stage, we just thought we can add a data integrity metrics that can be implemented to just ensure that if there's plus and minus errors, you are able to detect them rather than somebody coming in and telling you you were supposed to write 54, you wrote 45. So some of those things that we just want to address. It's not a nice thing to be told that you were supposed to write 54 and you wrote 45. So we just want to clear all those things. So also the GRAP review, and in terms, this is mainly because of that principal liability, so that we are very, very clear and know how to account for it, because there was, sometimes we really, I think the frustration with what we did frustrate the AG, because the principal, we thought it's supposed to be, and then they thought it was supposed to be like that, but we just want to do it across. And then also the risk assessment to be conducted in terms of to ensure that we protect CIRA, because it has been getting a clean audit, but because of this one, and then we regressed significantly. But we just want to ensure that we have a risk assessment and we've got measures in place to ensure that the financial statements are of good quality going forward, that a user can rely on them. And then this one of internal audit I've alluded to earlier on, that we are still going to continue using the internal auditor for them to enhance our internal control across to ensure that we return back to our clean audit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, I'm taking your hands now. Thank you very much. Mr. Chauke, would you like to come in before I take
it? Yes, Chairperson. We have the Chairperson of the Audit Committee here, Mr. Nalam Thongo. I wondered if, Chair, he would like to add one or two words to strengthen that issues of governance and financial oversight still exist within the organization before the members ask questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. While I'm noting hands, could we have the internal audit? Internal audit committee?
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, I'm Nalam Strong of the Audit Committee Chair. Indeed, I agree with the presentation from the CFO. Indeed, from the audit committee, we are satisfied with the control environment. Obviously, as indicated, the entity received a qualified audit report. We look at the circumstances around that, and of course, that didn't change the overall control environment. But obviously, if one needs to elaborate on that from our point of view, one can. But for now, it's just a confirmation that from our oversight functions that we observe right throughout the year, we're still satisfied with the overall control environment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mhlongo. Honorable Shembeni and then Honorable Tablanche.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation from Sarah. A few questions, Chair. With regards to the companies that they have, are they doing inspections regularly to those to check if those companies are still in line with the law in terms of having security guards that don't have the certificates as prescribed? Number two, the use of firearms by those security guards. Are they checking whether those security guards are having proper and registered firearms with licenses? If yes, how many have been arrested with unlawful possession of firearms? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shimbeni. Honorable De Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I think that we already agreed that today is not a very good day for the whole, let's call it the police cluster then. And certainly it was also not a good day for Sira. You know, we started, you know, we couldn't get to a proper start. And, you know, it's quite obvious that the presenter that, you know, presented to us today, she came ill-prepared. I just think that she didn't, maybe she read this presentation for the first time today. And she even also admitted that there is a regression. There is a serious regression, Chairperson. You can see it. And I feel, you know, very sorry that that is the case. Sira was also always a shining example of excellence, and unfortunately that's not there anymore. Chairperson, my first question is, we are in this position now, and my question is, how do they plan to turn this situation around? Because at the moment I think it's still moving south, so I want to know, how are they going to turn it around? We've heard the word, you know, that red, they are in red, you know, in terms of the KPIs. And I don't think that is really what we wanted to hear. Chairperson, also nowadays, quite often you come around, or, you know, you get, let's call it the so-called fly-by-night security companies. And, you know, my question is, what do they intend to do to ensure that we, you know, sort of get rid of those people operating security companies without proper, you know, without proper consent and not being qualified to do the job? Chairperson, then, you know, we touched on the audit outcome, and you know, really that is something that Sira must be very concerned about. Apparently they still have, you know, they have good management or financial principles in place. But my concern is, if it's dealt with the way that we saw here today, I don't know how long that is going to position. And I want some assurance from the management of Sira that they are still able and capable and willing to address this problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Blanche. I don't know, Honorable Members, I don't have any further hands. Could I have Mr. Chauke, would you like to start and then you hand over?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the first question from Honorable Shingeni was regarding the question of whether we do inspect companies that are not registered. Yes, Chairperson, I must confirm that we do conduct those inspections, and there is quite a lot of arrests that are taking place, particularly on those companies that are utilizing people that are not registered, as well as we do not only arrest owners and individuals, I mean individuals, security officers, we also arrest owners of those companies. And regarding the use of firearms, yes, we also do inspect companies that are utilizing firearms. We have had incidents where firearms were not used, were not given to people who are licensed. We have had quite a number of operations. If you go to the very first slide where we were showing our highlights, you will notice that we also had some couple of operations in that year in which we had effected quite a lot of arrests regarding the use of firearms. And I'm quite aware that perhaps Honorable Shengeni might be referring to the matter in Mpumalanga where there was use of firearms. I think the police are still investigating that matter. We will be able to give further feedback on that matter where firearms in a municipal area where people were shot at and allegedly by security companies. Thank you, Chair. On the CFO will provide the answer on the next question by Honorable Telbunch. But from a management perspective, I would like to assure Honorable Telbunch and members of the public that CIRA still remains an organization which is managed properly. The governance processes are still there. The financial controls have not collapsed, as you heard from the chair of the ARC. And overall, we're still managing the organization. We will be able to turn around this situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chauke. Do you have any other responses you can indicate who will respond?
The CFO can take the first question from Honorable Terlach. And CFO? If the head of law enforcement, Ms. Talen Zwani, would like to add to the first one as well. Thank you.
Thank you. You may start.
Thank you, Chairperson. In relation to what action are we going to put in place to ensure that we go back to our clean audit or unqualified audit opinion, we are going to involve internal auditors to assist us in reviewing the source documents as required. And also, as I highlighted earlier, that we are going to request an expert to assist us in ensuring that the principal liability note in the financial statement is properly presented in the financial statement. The experts can be, the one that we are going to look at is Office of the Auditor General, and also also the National Treasury, where they have got the accounting, the GRAP expertise. So we are going to use these two to assist us in making sure that we present that note in aligned to GRAP standards. So that was the issue, because the principal liability has two contracts. So, and also what we are planning to do is to sit with the AG. We have sat with them, but again, after all this has been done, we've arranged a meeting with the AG to run through everything that we have done to them. And then at the end of the financial year, not even the financial year, at the end of quarter three, we are going to prepare an interim financial statement and request the Auditor General to look, to zoom in that finding and confirm if there are still internal control deficiencies relating to that. So those are some of the things that some of them are done, and some of them they will be finalized as at in January. And the audit committee will constantly be updated on the audit action plans, that how are we faring. And then another thing that can assist that will assist the audit committee as a last line before the board, the council, they will look at the report from both the internal audit and the AG, the interim report, so that they are assured of the internal controls have been enhanced to eliminate this going forward. And I would like to apologize to members if I have not done the presentation adequately. I thought when we, in the interest of time, I'll just focus on the issues that have not been addressed. And going forward, if I'm given an opportunity, I'll try to address all the matters, even the ones that we have performed adequately. I hope my apology have been received well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Chauke.
Thank you, Chair. It does seem that there is nothing to add from the head of law enforcement from what I've said. Perhaps we can move on to the next questions, Chair, through you.
Dim, before I take another round, Dim?
Yes, Chair. No, it's fine. I think you can proceed to take another round. I'm here with the responses. But just to say to members, there is no way SIR will allow SIRA to regress from where it was. We have discussed with the leadership that there is commitment to ensure that this mishap does not continue beyond here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Dim. Honourable members, do you have more questions? Honourable Shembeni.
Yes, I have one.
Yes, Honorable
Shembeni. Thank you, Chair. I wanted to ask about the issue of the uniform of security officer. What is the so-called instruction, whatever that the department does have for the companies to provide uniform to its members? Because I'm asking this question because you find people complaining that we don't have uniform. I've got one chest, I've got one trouser, and then you will be told that money is being deducted for this and all that. And then I just want to find quickly if does the department have a certain law that gives the companies some type of enforcement to say they must give their people uniform. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Shembeni. Mr. Chauke?
Thank you, Chair. I will ask Ms. Talenzwani to assist with the question.
Thank you, Chair. It's Talent Zwane here, the Deputy Director of Law Enforcement. With regards to uniforms, Honorable Shembeni, the business must issue two sets of uniforms to the security officers, and there must be no deductions thereof. I recall that in your last question you created about the issue of security companies and that are using firearms. With regards to the Mpumalanga issue, we have taken action from our side pending the investigation from the police. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, do I have any further questions? If not, thank you very much to the Chairperson of the Board, the Internal Audit Committee. Thank you very much to the Deputy Minister and the Honourable Members, Mr. Chauke. We'll be interacting with you again. We need to, Honourable Members, interact more often with SIRA and IPIT. We must place more emphasis on the work done by IPIT and SIRA and not only call them in when they have to do their BRRR reports. Nicolette and Babawa, could you note this? My assessment is that we're not paying a sufficient attention to IPED and to CIRA. They have to be scheduled as priority items. Their reports have to be scheduled as priority items on the agenda, and they have to appear before the committee more often. DM, before I close the meeting.
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks to committee members for the opportunity you have given us to interact with you. It has always been a very fruitful interaction, as usual. We will come here and we live here wiser. Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to the Chair of the Council and the CEO for the presentations and responding to the questions raised. Thanks very much, Chair. You are muted, Chair.
Thank you very much to the Deputy Minister, the Chair of the Council, Mr. Chauke. We appreciate your input today. We appreciate your responses to the questions. And thank you very much to ensuring that you keep pushing ahead and that you keep the fort. We do have some problems, as I said, we do, but those problems are not insurmountable, and we can address those problems. Honourable members, with that, I've come to the end of this meeting. Thank you for allowing me to schedule a meeting on a Friday. I know you are all going to be taking flights. I wish you well, and all the success for this weekend's activities. Thank you, DM, once more for always being available for the committee. Honourable members, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to all the members.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.